Come to the last end of this day. And I want you to know that I'm just as happy on this end of the day as I was on the other end this morning. But I believe there's been times in my life when I have been awful sad, been times when there's been a lot of sorrow. But I can thank God that He's helped us through it. And we can be thankful tonight that most of the time we're happy in ourselves, and all the time we're happy in the Lord. I want to thank you, Sister Louise. I didn't know where to start because I never sung with you by myself. But I think maybe next time I'll know to do the lower part in your behalf. But anyhow, I thank you for that privilege of even letting me sing with you. If you have your Bibles in Exodus and 32, there's a verse of Scripture that I believe I have read before, but I want to read it again. And I want to try to make some comments on it this evening, and maybe we might realize or that we might be refreshed about God taking over each individual's life. The 32nd chapter of Exodus and verse 26, and we might relate to the rest of the chapter a little later on. But it reads as thus: Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? That's a question. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. I ask that question tonight as to relate to the message this morning also. Who is on the Lord's side? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we once again approach thy throne of grace, we thank you, dear God, knowing that you know our hearts and the sincerity therein. We thank you in the only way that we know how, for your Son, Jesus Christ, with a simple thank you, God. And pray, Heavenly Father, that our lives might be lives that others might see that we have been with Jesus. We pray, dear God, that regardless of where that we are, if it's in a home, at work, at church, at school, wherever that might be, that we might be an everyday Christian and that others might see Jesus in our lives every day. We're thankful, dear God, for the many, many testimonies that we have heard tonight. For those that remember and those that thank you and those that are calling for prayer. And Father, we believe tonight that as we kneel to pray or if we stand to pray or wherever that is that we pray, we're calling tonight, dear God, that you've inclined your ear to us. And in behalf of those who have requested prayer for someone else and for themselves, we give to pray, dear God, that your will be done in each of our lives. And we too, dear God, have many loved ones in the Homer said, oh, how we would love to see them in heaven. And we pray, dear God, that if they're not your children, that before it's too late, they might come through the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now bless the service tonight, dear God. Take charge of it. Use us, dear God, as thy under servant. Bless each and every one of us. Clear our hearts and our minds of the thing that will be said us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And amen. I believe maybe you are familiar with the story leading up to our text for the evening. If you're not, and you will look, you will find that Moses had went up into the mountain to receive something from God, and that being the Ten Commandments. And you'll see that while he was there, the people decided that Moses was gone. He wasn't going to come back anymore. They didn't know how long he'd be gone or what had happened. And they wanted a God that they could feel and something they could see, something that they could have in their presence to depend upon. And you know how that God told Moses, he said, now Moses, you had better go down there. There's something going on that
not my will. So Moses went down, and as he got there, he noticed that there was a golden calf. And so he approached Aaron and asked Aaron how come that it was that this golden calf was there. And Aaron told Moses the story how that the people said, well, now Moses is gone and we need something that we can have in our midst, something to call upon and something to leave. And Moses was very angered, and Aaron said, well, I told the people to bust off the jewelry, the gold that they had, and they gave it to me, and I went over and I threw it in the fire, and this calf came out. Well, we know that Moses that time was mad. He was hurt because that the people, knowing what God had did for them, had turned against God. They wasn't serving God, and just in his absence, just that length of time, they were willing to throw all that God had did for them away and try to get them an idol to serve. And so he got mad, and this is the challenge that he challenged to the people when he stood. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You know, I think tonight that this is a great challenge as we ask who's on the Lord's side. Many times we hear somebody say, well, there's three sides of every story. There's God's side, there's the devil's side, and then there's my side. But I want to make it clear for God's record tonight that there's only two sides. That's God's side and the devil's side. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. You're either saved or you're lost. But I think that we might be challenged tonight as we declare our how we stand, our position, by the confession that we give of God or against God. And I believe the psalmist said like this, I delight to do thy will. I wonder tonight how enthusiastic that I am to do God's will. I wonder how enthused I am to look to God and pray to God and call upon God and say, now God, now here I am. You saved my life. You're keeping my life. And now I just want you to take me, and whatever you want me to do, I want you to tell me that I might get at it. I wonder if we have this freedom tonight and this confession that we're just willing to tell God, now God, you just take over. The writer put it like this. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, after thy will. Hold over my being absolute will. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall see Christ only all, living in me. This is the prayer, and this is the song, that God might take our life, and so fill us with the Spirit of God and leadership that we might know that all people around us can only see Christ in our lives. I want to say this tonight, that first of all, when we're on God's side, God imparts to us a vision. He gives us a blueprint to go by. He gives us a roadmap to go by. And I believe that this vision should cause us to say, God, now I see what you want me to do, but I need all the strength in the world. May I point out that in Genesis that Abraham and Lot left their country, and Lot had made his choice, it didn't look like Abraham was left with much. But that much that he wasn't left with was in God's hands, and God could take it and cause it to be the greatest that Abraham ever had. And so after Lot made his choice to the green pastures toward Sodom, God spoke again to Abraham and said this, look on the north side and look on the south side. Look to your east and look to your west. And all that you see, I'll give to you. It's yours. God gave this man a vision. A vision of what he wanted him to do and where he wanted him to go. But in this vision, God said that God would be the one that would give it. And so we see this man as he goes out into the Rocky Mountains. Nothing left. No way to feed this cattle because it was barren, but God provided, and my friend, it was the best choice that this man ever made. There was another man also who was Joshua. And as they come, and Moses' life was about to end. Moses' life was taken in the mountain, and God went to Joshua, and God said to Joshua, as he looked across the sea at the impossibilities that lay before him, God said, my servant Moses is dead. Therefore, Joshua, cross over. And wheresoever that your feet walk, it's yours. I'll give it to you. God gave this man a vision. When God calls an individual, when God takes care of an individual's life, he shows us what to do. We've got to see that vision. Now, my friend, I want to say tonight from the depths of my heart, when Jesus was speaking and he said, lift up our eyes and look on the field, for they are white already in the harvest, he was talking to you, and he was talking to me, and imparting to us a vision that you and I might look out and see a world that met God, a world that God had laid out the blueprint. He had given us the plan. He had given us the roadmap. And then he challenged us to look at our eyes and see the challenge and see the vision that he put before us, and then to do something about it. This is God's way. When God gives a challenge, God gives a way. And so tonight, I'm thankful, aren't you, that just little old me and little old you, God cared enough that he endued us with a power and with the filling of the Spirit that we might recognize that the field is ready to harvest. I thank God for that tonight, and I thank God that there are many people tonight who have seen that vision. There are missionaries who have given their lives in foreign countries, and people who have went all out here that souls might be saved. People maybe at this very moment are at the altar of prayer praying for souls to be saved. You know why? Because that God gave them a vision. And they see that it won't be long. I don't believe it will. And Jesus is going to come. And I too want to see some folks in heaven that are lost today and pray that they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so then he gives us the vision. And then he defines the task. In the book of Matthew, we find the words. He said, there, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the best way to get someone to know how to be saved? First of all, by your experience. But your experience comes through the Word of God, because you called upon the name of the Lord. He heard your prayer. The Spirit got you. God saved you through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. It took the three. And so, my friend, then, he said to the people, go and teach and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the job that He gave us to do. But he said something to these disciples before he went. He said, before you go and before you teach, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem for a while, and while you're there, you will be filled with a power from on high, and that power was the filling of the Holy Spirit. My friend, you need power to go out for God. And that power is still here today, confined within us. And that is the Holy Spirit. And so God then defines for us the task that He wants us to do. Have you ever been home or uptown? Have you ever been anywhere? And just so happens some individual walked by. Made no difference who it was. But somehow you had a feeling that God wanted you to tell them something about God. And you therefore went, and you didn't even know hardly what you were going to say or what you were going to do. But you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that God wanted you to say something. God was laying out the task in your life. You went to that individual, and that individual was saved, or you heard that they were saved from what you had said. I heard Brother John speak many times about when he was in a hospital, and people told him years later that they were saved, or something had because of his life, or what he had said. This is the task that God gives us to do. I've seen people leave their seat in church and go back and lead someone to God. Have a feeling, never look back, but God laying out the task in our lives. Isn't it wonderful that God deals with us so gracefully? And then he supplies the path. Now I say that all power is in the Holy Spirit. And we have the scripture, and when Luke quoted it, he said that it was the power from on high, the power that would come from God. And my friend, on that day of Pentecost, when they preached the gospel, there was something in that message that caused people to turn to God. Do you know what it was? It was power. It was the power of God going through the heart of a list of men to people with a contrite heart, and it caused them to be convicted and called them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it brought them to God. And so, my friend, the path was laid before. God gave the power. You know, when I was first saved, my pastor told me I should go tell people about God. But I was fessing up to him, and I said, I want to tell you, Pastor, I can't go. I am scared to death. I can't tell nobody about God. There is no way. And then God told me to preach, and I know God was all wrong. He didn't know his business because I couldn't even talk. I couldn't say nothing. You ever hear anybody couldn't talk, never keep their mouth shut like I do? But God was laying out the task. And I guarantee you that it was up to God to lay it in a way that I might understand. He had to give me a roadmap. He had to give me the task. And then he had to give me the power to do what God wanted me to do. You've got to have the power. And that power is the power of God in the presence and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so then God supplies that power. But when God supplies that power, he gives a victory. Thanks be to God that giveth the victory. And then another verse of scripture said that he, that God, always causes us to triumph. I want to read some scripture here, a couple of verses if you will follow with me on them. Acts 14 and 27, it reads thus. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. You see, it was God that had did something through their lives. He had given them the power. He had used them, and they rehearsed what God had done for them. And then in 15 and verse 4 of the book of Acts. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. You see, God is getting the credit. Why? Because God deserves the credit. You know, probably when I first started preaching, I'm sure that the one thing I wanted more than anything in the world was for just somebody, even if it was just to make me feel good, would get out of their seat and come forward and be saved or something just to make me feel good. And I'd really quit preaching when nobody did come forward. But I realized something, that nobody ever comes forward to make me feel good. They come forward because they're convicted, and God gives them the power to come forward. And you know what? I can stand here today, and I can say, as my own daughter came forward this morning, I thank God because it's God that causes us to triumph. It's God that gave the victory, and it's not me. And so I thank God for that, that it's God who gives us the victory. And then in 15:12, read something like this. Then all the multitude kept silent and give audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. What they were saying was, we let God use us, and because we let God use us, there was great victory. Well, my friends and I am sure of this. I ask us tonight, is our part fully yielded to God? Am I what God wants me to be, complete? Not just dedicated to the task of one principle or one idea. Not dedicated to just one day of my life. But I believe God said for us to be and to go and to do and to keep. And when he says keep, I believe there's something he wants us to keep. And I just want to tell you, it won't cost you a damn what I think it is. I think that God wants us to keep the hotline between us and God open. I believe that God wants our voices when we go to God to know that we have the authority and the privilege to go to God, and God has the authority to take our prayer and do something about it. And as God told us to know, I believe God gives every one of us a vision. Now listen, young people, we've all for life. If your mind has not been stayed upon somebody that's lost, if your heart has not become concerned about other people, above all things, the hotline to God is closed off. It needs to be opened up. You know what the number is for that hotline at home? -237-5568 to get a hold of me, but God is just simply prayer. You can get in touch with God. You can get that vision from God. He'll show you the path. He'll supply the path. And thanks be to God, He will. He will. Did you hear that, Ralph? Did you hear that, Clyde? Did you hear that? He will give us the victory. Because He's God. So I thank God tonight and I ask us, can we sing the song from the depth of our heart? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey God. Are we obeying tonight? As our song and pianist come forward this evening, I ask us tonight, are we walking in the Spirit? Have we quenched the Spirit? Are we letting the Holy Spirit do His office work in our life? Are we walking for God? And does God lead us? If He doesn't tonight, would you let Him, as we stand and sing two verses of song or whatever the song leader feels that's the thing, would you come to God if you're not? Would you tell God, give me the vision, give me the path, supply the power, and then God, have the victory through my life? For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Brother Rob.